wonderful grace.
The message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there's a God-given design for its study. Rightly divided, the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for an interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join him now.
We're certainly glad you're joining us today. We trust that our time together in God's Word will be a rich blessing and help to you as we'll take some time just to look into the pages of God's Word and allow the Spirit of God to teach us out of the Bible. You know, this is a Bible study program, and we try to tackle questions and issues from a Bible believer's viewpoint. And I try to deal with issues that are helpful and important to people who want to understand what God's doing today and how that relates to them and they relate to it. I want to talk to you today and maybe in the next few studies together about a topic that if you get it wrong, you're going to get pretty much everything else wrong. And I know that when I bring it up with you, it's going to sound strange in your thinking, and strange in your to many people's ears, and that's why we really need to hear about it, because this issue is one that has eaten away at the heart of evangelical so-called Bible-believing Christianity for the past five decades, and has rendered it as impotent and irrelevant to the world about us as it is today. And I say that, and I say that with a consciousness. I've been preaching for five decades. I've watched it happen. I've lived through it. I've ministered through it, and I've taught through it. Outside of knowing that you're saved and have eternal life as a present possession, that all of your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life, and that you're as sure of dying and going to heaven as you are as if you were already there. As important as it is to have an understanding that when you possess a King James Bible, you have God's Word, you know where to go to find God's Word. That's the two most important things in life, to know you're saved and to know you have in your possession the Word of God. Next to those two things, this topic is probably third most important in your third most important topic, and that's the issue is why Pentecost is not us. Now that I know that you say, wow, Rick, that's a real weird topic to be that important. The great blunder of evangelical fundamental Bible believing Christianity is to think that the pattern of what God is doing today and what God would have the church, the body of Christ, to do today, what God would have you as a believer, and I recognize that everybody watching this program is not a believer. It's a fascinating thing. A lot of folks watch programs like this who aren't professing Bible believers. Can I tell you there's an answer for you? You look at evangelicalism today and you wonder what it's all about. Maybe you look at it askant and you say there's just a bunch of political right-wing nuts and so forth. I understand why you'd think that. Because politics has become most the mantra and the banner under which much of evangelicalism marches. Can I tell you that's not what the Bible teaches? It's not Bible-believing Christianity. That is a hijacking of the faith and of the church to do those kind of things. So if you have that idea, maybe your concept of an evangelical is Homer Simpson's next door neighbor kind of thing. Maybe you'd listen and maybe you're watching a program like this to just check out what's going on. I want to tell you, it's important for you to hear this. But most important for me, in my mind, is for those of us that are believers, that are Bible believers, that do desire to have God's will and God's Word working in our life. If you're wrong about this one issue, you'll be wrong about just about everything else in the Christian life. You'll be wrong about the gospel that saves. You'll be wrong about the Christian life and the program that God will have you to operate in your life. You'll be wrong about your identity, about who you are in Jesus Christ. You'll be wrong about the mission that you have in time, what the mission of the believer, what the mission of the church is. You won't know how to pray. You won't know how to walk in the things of God. You won't know what to expect God to do for you. When you do pray, you won't know what your hope is. Everything that is the foundation of the working of the Christian life, if you get this issue about Pentecost wrong, you'll be wrong about pretty much everything else. Why the church didn't start at Pentecost? J.C. O'Hare said it years ago. The great blunder back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s of fundamentalism was to start the church at Pentecost, start the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost. The great blunder of evangelicalism in the 70s, 80s, and 90s was to take that blunder, that mistake, and to codify it and to try to do everything they could to rescue the church from its irrelevance. You understand how that's working? The church became irrelevant. You had a vibrant, fundamental, Bible-believing church that came out of the 1800s into the 1900s, all across the world. People growing in understanding of the Scripture. People rejoicing in understanding of the Scripture, coming out of the dead orthodoxy of Catholicism and Protestantism and coming into exciting, vibrant, functioning, missionary-minded Christianity. And then in the early part of the 1900s, the idea that Pentecost is who we are. That got codified. The result of misidentifying ourselves, thinking we're Israel and the prophetic program is us, caused confusion. And it brought that spiritual growth to a halt. And evangelicalism, fundamental evangelical people, transformed themselves into neo-evangelical, new evangelicals in the 60s, late 50s and early 60s and the 70s, and that was not just confusion, that was a step into darkness. And they stepped right off the plank. And then they had to start, because of the confusion, the church became irrelevant. By the early 60s, when America went through that fourth great awakening of the 60s, the only spiritual awakening in our nation's history that took place without it being a Bible-based awakening. Did you know that? Every great awakening in American history prior to that had been based in something in the Scripture, the recovery of justification, the recovery of sanctification. And so, but the great awakening of the 60s was without the Bible, the New Age awakening. And what happens? The church had become irrelevant. Why? They lost their way. O'Hare said back in the 40s, if the church fails to see the distinctive ministry of Paul, it's going to be scourged with the rod of Pentecostal fanaticism. And that began in the 60s. But what happened from that is that having become irrelevant as a solution to the problems of the world, they began to say, we need to help some. And so you had the moral majority develop. You had all the different political movements develop because they're trying to impact the world. Listen, you've never been big enough a day in your life to do something, make God do something he isn't doing. And if you're trying to follow a program God has put on the shelf, then you have to do it in the energy of your own flesh. You have to develop your religion. And evangelicalism became evangelicalism. And they became this business of churchanity that you have today. And not only then are they irrelevant, they've become completely devoid of any spiritual impact at all. And you look at the church today and you see that's sort of the history of how it's worked. The fundamental problem was thinking that what God's doing today is what he was doing in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost is not our program. Now, I know that there are whole denominations that call themselves Pentecostal, and a little guy like me gets on a program, little program like this, and says, wait a minute. But let me tell you something. If you listen and you think and you notice what's going on, you'll see Pentecost in the Bible is not what God's doing today. Now, why do I say that? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Get Acts 2, verse 16 in one hand and Ephesians chapter 3. You'll see this. You don't need a college education. You don't need to understand Greek. You don't need a preacher to tell you this. You can see it sitting right there. Now, whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. Whether you believe God's word or not, that's on you. But you can't miss these two verses. And these two verses, just compare them. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Demonstrate without any question that Pentecost is not what God's doing today. When I say today, I mean in the dispensation of grace. What was going on at Pentecost is not what's going on at your church, my church, anybody else's church in the 21st century. Acts chapter 2, if you start in verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this, that is, the pouring out of the Spirit of God on the apostles who are speaking with tongues. Everybody's hearing preaching their own language. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What you see and hear happening out here, these guys aren't drunk. What's happening is what Joel said was going to happen. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your young men, and on your sons and on your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams, shall dream dreams. What you see here, Peter says, is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. I'll pour out of my Spirit. So the pouring out of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost was a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Now, look back at Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So who is it really speaking through Peter in verse 16 when he says, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel? Really, that's God the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, telling you what he's doing on the day of Pentecost. And he says, what I'm doing on the day of Pentecost is what Joel prophesied about. Look at chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his holy prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Can I tell you that what's going on in the day of Pentecost, what's going on in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, is not a secret. It's something that the prophets knew about since the world began. Joel specifically spoke about it. Pentecost was no secret. It was prophecy. It was the next step in the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, there was a system of instructions given by Christ to Paul for you and me. How that by revelation he, Christ, made known unto me, Paul, the mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Which in other ages, notice carefully, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Now, you might choke on that verse, but that verse is pretty clear. There was a system of information in the Bible. There is a system of information in the Bible called prophecy. It's spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. And back here in time past in the Bible, prophecy back here is that which is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. So prophecy begins back here with Adam. And prophecy, Joel back here, when Joel chapter 2, when he prophesied, Peter says, all the things that Jesus has prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's fulfilled. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, like Isaiah said he would be. He ministered in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and over again, it would say he did this, he did that, did the next thing, that it might be fulfilled, which was written. Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father. So God had made promises, he'd given prophecies, all about all these things being fulfilled. Jesus Christ dies, prophecy. He's resurrected, fulfilling prophecy. He ascends into heaven, fulfilling prophecy. He sends the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Joel chapter 2 prophesied about it. All of this information is prophecy. You come over here to the Apostle Paul, and Paul says, now there's some information over here that the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven has revealed to me, and that information was kept secret. That information is called a mystery. And mystery in the Bible is not something that, superstitious and hokey. A mystery in the Bible is something kept secret since the world began. You're in Ephesians 3. Look down at verse number 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, right back here, hath been hid. If it's hidden, it's not made known. If it's hidden, it's not being spoken. This information in here about the church, the body of Christ, Joel didn't know about it. So he didn't write about it. When Peter says that, Pentecost, is what Joel talked about, that means what Paul's teaching about over here isn't there. This is prophecy, that's mystery. They aren't the same. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Can I tell you that there was no new beginning at Pentecost? There was no birthday of a church at Pentecost. They were added to the church at Pentecost. Listen, when you get added to something, it's already there. They weren't the first in it. He says that the Spirit in the last days. This is the last days, not the first days. When you begin something, it's not the end, it's the beginning. When you start something, you don't add to it, it's not already there, you begin it. Everything about Pentecost is the fulfillment of prophecy. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that's the power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul talking, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Now you just need to look at that verse and let that verse sink into your thinking. You can see this. You say, yeah, but, and forget the yeah, buts. Just relax. Chill out. Put your feet up on the ottoman, get your Dr. Pepper, and let it hang out, relax. Not trying to threaten anybody. God's Word might. You can see this. You can get it. You see, the Bible's not that hard to understand. The Bible's hard to believe. Because so often the Bible contradicts what you thought it was going to say. Because you've been listening to preachers instead of reading your Bible. That which is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets is what's going on the day of Pentecost. Our ministry over here, Paul says, is that which is kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest. So there's the books that do it. Now come with me to Hebrews chapter number 3. Nothing new in the sense of not never been there before, began on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was the continuation of God's program for Israel. What you have here is just the next step. It's a significant step. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Significant. But a continuation of that which is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. This thing over here is unprophesied. Nobody knows about it until it's revealed by Christ through Paul. You say, well, I never heard about that, Brother Rick. Well, Ephesians 2, he says to the Ephesians, if you have heard, even some of them hadn't heard. But now you have. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, you've heard preachers preach about that verse. If you're a Christian, you've heard a lot of... I've heard some great evangelistic messages preached on that verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I started my preaching ministry many years ago in an inner-city rescue mission. And that verse, people come down, they take the text and depart far hence to preach the gospel. But that nobody ever read the rest of the verse. Because read it. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. So the salvation the book of Hebrews is talking about is a salvation that began to be spoken by the Lord. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with signs, wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what the book of Acts begins. The Holy Spirit is given here. They're confirming what Jesus taught them back here. You see, he formed that little flock back here, trained them to carry on his ministry in his absence over here in the book of Acts. So what's going on in the book of Acts as the book of Acts begins is the continuation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How do I know? I can read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. That's not hard. You say, but isn't Hebrews talking about us? Look down at verse 5. Unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. So there's time past, but now, and then there's the ages to come. What's the rest of that verse say? Whereof we speak. What does the writer of the book of Hebrews think he's talking about? Time past, but now, or the ages to come? Yeah, you see that? He's speaking about the fulfillment of the prophetic program. That's what Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about prophecies being fulfilled, one more thing's being ticked off. These things are going to come. Christ is going to come back, set up his kingdom. The time of refreshing, restoration of all things, spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. They know about the period of wrath and the tribulation. John the Baptist told them, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They know about that. Jesus taught them, thy kingdom come. They know about the coming kingdom. They're continuing, they're confirming what he taught them back here. Now think about that. What did he teach them back here? He told them Matthew 5, he says, whosoever teaches somebody to keep the law will be great in the kingdom. You tell them not to keep the law, they'll be least in the kingdom. What's Paul say? You're not under the law. How you figure that? You watch preachers, they'll do all kind of mental gymnastics to get around that. You don't have to change a verse, a word, or a thought in the Bible. The law system back here in the new covenant, he writes the law in their hearts. He's going to fulfill that thing for them out over there. Here, you're not under the law because the program in here is a program called grace. Nobody in the Bible tells you about that except the Apostle Paul because that's a different program. And that's where we are today. And that's us today. And when you mix these things up, you wind up, come with me to Amos chapter 3. When you mix these things up, you just bring confusion and you get people in a situation where they don't know who their true identity is. This is Israel. We're not Israel. Here there's neither Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. But we're one in the church, the body of Christ. God doesn't give you a status of being a spiritual Jew in here. He gives you a status of being a new creation. Now, preachers have a way of getting around this. They say, well, it was there in Acts 2. It just wasn't revealed till Paul. See that? What was the smallest continent before Australia was discovered? That's right, Australia. People just didn't know about it. So they say, well, the body of Christ really began at Pentecost, but it just wasn't revealed till you come to Paul. The problem with that is, You're saying that God, the Holy Ghost, didn't know what he was doing at Pentecost when he told you he's fulfilling prophecy. Amos chapter 3, verse number 7. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God will not do something in secret that he doesn't tell his servants, the prophets, about. Peter's a prophet. If God was doing something in secret here that he didn't tell anybody about, Amos 3:7 says he won't do that. So how come you said he does? Because you're trying to make Pentecost you. You know what? You want the program. There's things back there you want. But when you go back there, you lose the message of grace. You lose the clarity of who we are in Christ. And you lose an understanding of your real identity and what God's really doing today. The confusion about the gospel, the confusion about the program, the mission of the body of Christ, the purpose for your life. If you go back to Pentecost and try to find it, you're going to wind up trying to make God do something he isn't doing, and it won't work. What God is doing today is found in the epistles of the Apostle Paul. That's called rightly dividing the word of truth. You can see it. You can get it. This is not brain surgery. This is fifth grade English in a King James Bible that you can understand. And if all of religion doesn't like it, it doesn't change it. Believe it and let it work in your life for God's glory. See you next time. Till then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God.
Friends, we have an audio CD we would like you to have to go along with today's study.
It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thank you for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, P.O. Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you may also call us at regular business hours, toll-free, 888-535-2300. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, P.O. Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.
He took the blame.